thank you for attending early in the morning here. Kathy and I are going to, like Laura said, we're going to tag team this presentation, so forgive us for moving in between the microphone here, but that's what we have to do for the taping. As Kathy said, I'm Mick Bolster. I'm a bit of a rare bird at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I was tenured primarily on teaching. So teaching is a passion of mine at the university and working in scholarship of pedagogy, and I continue to do it today, and that's what kind of led to this presentation and of our project.
And I'm Kathy Honkowski. I've been an educator for my entire career and been in the Madison Metropolitan School District since 1998. I was a classroom teacher and then became a science teacher leader, and I'm now a science instructional teacher. Science resource teacher for the district. So just wanted to say that I had been on the job about 5 minutes when I heard about Mick Bolster, because my predecessor was sort of getting me familiar with some of the people I'd be working with, and she said, there's this guy at the university in the soil science department, and he's really interested in working with the school district and a lot with K-8 educators and students. So that was the beginning of my relationship and partnership with Mick.
So we're going to cut right to the chase here. This is the product. This is the tool. This is the novel tool in the title that we've advertised. It's called Making Sense of Science Earth Systems. And this is actually a partnership between West Ed. We'll hear more about West Ed in a moment, but West Ed is a nonpartisan nonprofit that works on educational research at national level in California. We partnered with them, and then Kathy and I were part of that partnership through the Madison Metropolitan School District, Wisconsin, and the University of Wisconsin to come up with this product. This is the tool. We're going to come back to it at the end. We're not going to deconstruct it right now.
So in our time together this morning, we're going to focus on three projects that Mick and I have worked on together, and they have different, I guess, spans of impact. So we're going to start with a more localized case that we worked on together, and then regional, and then finally end on this national project that we worked on together with West Ed.
So you can see already that soils is prominent in this tool that's reaching teachers nationwide. We're pretty proud of it. It's the, you might not be able to see it, but the pedosphere is the fourth big bullet there in the table of contents. There's some handouts at the back of the room. I encourage you to pick those up as you leave today to hear more about what this product is. But as Kathy said, we're going to start at the local level of embedding soils into a capstone project, as most universities have these capstone courses, if you're not familiar with them. They're courses that integrate the education, or they're designed to integrate the education of these students at the senior level. So we have a capstone in our curriculum, a capstone course, and a year ago we decided to do soil lead. As you know, that's a pretty hot topic. And immediately I thought of Kathy, because the students had expressed interest of looking at soil lead in school grounds, particularly in prairies and school gardens that were kind of a recent phenomena at these schools. So the title of our project was The Map and the Measure.
So I had started to get wind of this project. I was on summer break, a teacher contract, and I had started to see some emails kind of flying back and forth, and I was copied on them, and so I knew that there was this soils project that would be going on. And then Mick contacted me, and he said, you know, we've got this going on, and I said, well, there's a little bit of concern here in the district about this, but because we had worked together on other projects, I knew that I could trust him and that he had reached out to try to kind of buffer the reactions in the school district. We just looked at it together as this is going to be another really cool opportunity for us to work together. But we were to learn that it wasn't going to be quite as simple and easy as just the two of us working together on this soil gardening project.
Yes, Jack. So as you can probably imagine, doing lead at school class rounds in class grounds became a pretty hot topic. I made the assumption that, as Kathy said, that this was going to be a pretty neat thing. We're going to go into schools and look at their playground. But I failed to recognize the bureaucracy that's behind this and the other people that are going to be touched, political structures, safety issues. And ironically, about 10 years prior to this, I had helped to develop, which Kathy later wrote a grant for, helped to develop these outdoor classrooms because I believe in outdoor learning and all the best practices that come from that. But now, this project had the potential to not only shut down that whole educational system, but have ripples throughout the nation. So it quickly involved tons of other people that got involved with Kathy and I, and we had to, including the students, that I have to say were determined to get the school district to look at their lead. They, you know, they were advocates of saving the world, and here I was in this philosophical struggle between wanting to have a good capstone experience for the students, but yet not ruin my relationship with the school district.
So as Nick said, I had helped to write a grant to get some new school gardens put in. So at this point in time, we probably had maybe 10 new school gardens in place, and the momentum was pretty strong, and people were very excited about gardening in the district. But although I had written the grant, there was somebody else hired that was actually overseeing it. So she was very involved. The science coordinator, who was in a position above me, got involved. The whole curriculum and instruction director got involved, and this went up to the level of even the assistant superintendent in the school district. And the fear was that we had all this momentum going, and we felt that it was possible, although we wanted to have safe gardening spaces, that it might actually be possible that the soil would be tested and there would be lead in it. So it quickly kind of left my hands, and my job was sort of to keep buffering the situation by saying, I know Nick, I've worked with Nick, he expressed concern over this too, he wants to work with the school district. So the relationship that we had already had established became very important.
So cutting to the chase, the lesson learned here for us was that school systems, K-12 school systems, they're different bureaucracies than universities. And even though we had this great friendly relationship, you have to pay attention to that. You have to appreciate that other bureaucracy, especially when it comes to safety issues with the children. And we learned a lot. It actually turned out very well. The school district had a whole process for going through a proposal like this. So the students put together a proposal for how they would sample, what they would do if there was lead, and it turned out pretty well. We dropped it. We didn't do it again this year, but it was a great learning experience for everybody involved. The next project we're going to scale up now to what we call experimental learning, and this was at the regional scale. A while ago, about a year ago, I got a grant to look at wintertime effects on soil erosion processes. And part of the broader impacts of that grant were to implement some educational component of that. We decided to do an educational trail on soil erosion. We called it Soil on the Move. And this is being implemented now at the Pope Farm Conservancy. It's about a 100-acre conservancy in the area. A lot of school districts use this conservancy, and we're using this as a platform for soils outreach. Once again, I thought of Kathy.
So I was really excited when Nick contacted me about this. I had been to this conservancy. I loved the space, and I was really thrilled about the opportunity that school children and other community members who wanted to come and walk the trail would be able to experience. I have a background in curriculum development, so I thought, hey, this is right up my alley, this is great. And at this point in time, I've worked with Nick long enough to be excited about soils education too. So everything was coming together, and There was a lot of excitement about this new project.
So this is an aerial photo of the conservancy, and the yellow line is our trail. The stars represent stops along those trails. Kathy and I, and Ed Boswell, who's here, and some others, worked on a curriculum. This is the draft of the curriculum. This is a curriculum that we can put in the hands of school teachers to come out there and teach about soils in a real-world setting with hands-on activities. We're really excited about this. I hope in conferences to come we'll be unpacking this more for people, because I think it's the first in the country to do something like this. But my big lesson learned, and what I want to really convey, is to partner with K-12. You have to leave your ego at the door, your university professors out there, including myself, and really listen to what students need, the context of which you're talking, how deep you need to go with the science. It's critical to the success. One little story. I went to a fourth grade classroom. I was all excited about erosion. I was doing my best stuff. I had all these demos. I was talking about soil and how precious it was, and students were looking at me, sort of blank, stared. And I was like, what is going on? So I threw out some few more jokes. I started, nothing. So at the end of it, I talked to the teacher, and I said, why were the students looking at me like I was just, they were deadpan? You know, what was going on? And she said, because students here think soil goes to the center of the earth. You never told them how much soil there is. It was that key assumption, that preconceived understanding, that misconception, that I just kind of glazed over, and I wasn't connecting with the students. That's where this relationship with Kathy and the school district has been pivotal for my understanding of my audience.
So one of the first things that we did before I started to draft a curriculum was, Ed was along too, Nick and Ed and I and Emily went out to the site and we toured. And already in my head, I started to think about, how am I going to tone this down? Because they were tossing out a lot of technical terms, and I knew that it was going to be my job to try to contextualize this in a way in which elementary students, kind of common folk who are walking along the trail, teachers are going to be able to pick up on just a few key concepts and really focus on them, because it would be important for them to walk away from this experience being really excited about the soil in this place and wanting to learn more. So I found that part of my job was just to keep saying, you know, you might not want to have 15 objectives for this stop. You maybe should focus on one or two. So just trying to kind of keep it in the perspective of, who is the audience going to be who's actually participating in the field trip or walking this trail?
Very humbling. So the third and the last one, and this brings us back to the beginning. This is the national scale. Now we're scaling up to the national scale through this through West Ed. I had originally, when I first started with K-12 about 12 years ago or so, I worked with the FOSS series. Some of you might know about FOSS. FOSS is, has this thing of pebble, sand, and silt. They forget about clay. But this pebble, sand, and silt, and this is what they extend to the classrooms. And I was very involved in it. I loved it and everything else. Worked with a science writer for about a year. She went away to California. Never heard from her again. About 6 years later, unbeknownst to me, she was contacting Kathy to work on some national curriculum. We had impressed soils on her so much, and she loved it, that she wanted to bring soils to the national stage. She contacted me out of the blue one day. Hey, you remember me? And, oh, Jen, what are you? And before I knew it, we had networked together with this West Ed group, this nonprofit group, to develop this soil curriculum that's been used, it's now being used around the nation, and bringing soils into the classroom.
So just a little bit about my connection with West Ed then. I actually knew this same writer. I didn't know she had this connection with Nick, but it goes to show how important networking is as well. So I had worked with her on a grant in our school district, and we had been using their courses with our middle school teachers. Later we added elementary teachers. So I had been working with them, and Jen knew Nick at the UW, just a few blocks away from me and myself. So she was the one that connected us together on this project.
So we got together and wrote an NSF proposal, got it funded to bring soils and hydrology and geology together into these classrooms. This was a resource that the K-12 teachers really didn't have a deep understanding of, and so we used it as a vehicle. You can see from the table, the table of contents, the pedosphere is front and center in this work. I want to unpack it just a little bit. Like I said, there's some handouts at the back that tell you a little bit more, and we have the actual products here if we want to talk about them at the break or something. But some of the highlights of this curriculum that I find just outstanding, they build their stuff around misconceptions. That's where they start. They get experts in the room and say, what are the common misconceptions? And we argue and we fight and we, talk about these things, and we figure out what are the main threshold concepts that we need to be getting across in this curriculum. And then everything builds upon that from there. Here's some, like, soil can be described in many different ways. For example, by parent material, type of rock, da da da. So these are the types of misconceptions that we built upon.
So I was also invited to be in this room with experts as they worked through the misconceptions and the objectives. And a very important part of their courses are the actual teaching cases. So they design opportunities for teachers to look into the windows of other classrooms and actually look at where the kids are in their level of understanding and some of the practices that the teacher is using. It's a very strong component of the courses because it makes it very real for the teachers who are taking the courses. Sure. In addition to having these teaching cases, in each session there's a science investigation, which is designed to actually deepen the science content knowledge of the teacher. And there is a literacy investigation as well, because they recognize that it's very important to have strong literacy skills to learn the science. So each course incorporates one aspect of literacy throughout the 5-day course. It's either reading, writing, or discourse, and that is based on the apprenticeship program, which is a different project that is going on at West End.
And so what's very nice about this is that the K-12 teachers that we're partnering with, and particularly West Ed, they know the science standards. They know the national science standards. They've gone through all that stuff. I don't need to bring that as educator. I can bring my soil knowledge to this partnership, which makes it very nice because they're taking care of all that other stuff. This isn't a linear process. This is iterative. You're going through different steps. One of the things they also do with these curriculums is they pilot them in real classrooms. So it's not just a one-and-done thing. Mm-hmm. After they take the 5-day course, they take this in the classroom, and they look at actual student work and authentically, within their classrooms, deconstruct that student work. It also goes into the product.
So Nick and I actually wrote two of the teaching cases in the Earth Science course, the one on systems and the one on soil science. And another portion of the courses is to include a task bank for potential formative assessments that students can use. They require critical thinking, sense making, they're open-ended, and the teachers can really understand where the kids are in their thinking.
So the real lesson learned here is that when we work with K-12 organizations, be thinking about the long game. Treat every relationship as special and nurture those relationships, because you never know when they'll come back, when the time is right. They have schedules in the K-12 world. We have schedules in the university world. Sometimes we're not talking for months, and then we'll get a call, and Kathy and I'll say, hey, we got this new thing. Those are important, to be nurturing those relationships, because trust is really, really important here. So, to sum this up, when navigating the K-12 system, it's come down to four big things for me. One is that there's complex bureaucracies in both areas, and not understanding these or appreciating them can get you into trouble. But knowing them, you can work towards your advantage. That's where this partnership comes into real play. The context, the level of learning, knowing how to pitch your science, how deeply to go, where the K-12 teachers might need support in certain parts of their own learning is really important. Where I need to scale back what I'm talking about. Different reward structures. This is huge. For a high school teacher to spend time going through like a West Ed product, they have to be rewarded for that time. They're very, very busy. As a university professor, where research is king, these activities aren't always valued in the university system. So I have to be very cognitive about putting metrics on what I'm doing and displaying those. And that's time consuming. I don't have a whole group of people carrying all my soils buckets with me. I'm a one-man show. I have to show up at these places. I may have to fly to California to meet with this network. It's a time-consuming process, but I'll tell you, the rewards of having these relationships and the friendships that I've developed far, far outpace any of the cost of this. So our last lesson learned, it's the Uber lesson, if you will, because it overshadows all the others, is to develop these partnerships, identify the key people, and nurture them, because this will help you get through these other things.
Ditto. We're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you.